The Bible sometimes speaks about the glory of God. And the word glory in the Bible means the outward display or the outward exhibition of God's splendor, God's greatness, God's character. Remember, Jesus talked about the glory of Solomon in all his glory. Glory there was things like palaces, fantastic buildings, armies, all the things that Solomon put on display to show how great he was, how splendid he was, how majestic he was. That was the glory of Solomon. So the glory of God is what he puts on display to show how marvelous he is, to show how splendid he is, to show how great he is. Now Psalm 19, for instance, says that the heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, when we look at creation, especially when we look up at the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens, they speak to us of the greatness and the splendor of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. It's no surprise to us that creation shows us the glory of God. But actually, what we can learn from creation about God is really very limited. It tells us that God is splendid, it tells us that God is powerful, it tells us perhaps that God is wise, but it doesn't tell us much more than that about God. So the Bible also says that Jesus is the glory of God. If you want to see the glory of God, you don't just look at the skies and the stars and creation. You look at Jesus. He is the glory of God. He talks about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It says that the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we saw his glory. But the thing that really surprises me is that the New Testament, especially John's Gospel, describes the death of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, as a place of glory, where God supremely was glorified. Jesus talked about his hour, and he said that this was the hour in which he would glorify the Father, and in which he would be glorified. And he was talking about the hour of his suffering and the hour of his death. Now, I find that truly amazing, to think that a terrible, horrible, shameful thing like crucifixion should glorify God. How can a crucifixion glorify God? How can it be God's glory, a place of crucifixion? Crucifixion was unspeakably ugly. Golgotha, the place of a skull, was a very nasty, horrible place. It was a place of torture. It was a place of blood. It was a place of shame. It was a place where people were publicly tortured. Before they were tortured, they were abused by soldiers. You've seen pictures on the television of soldiers abusing people in Iraq. That sort of thing happened to Jesus before he was crucified. It was a place where people were mocked. It was a place where people were crucified naked. It was a place where as much humiliation as possible and as much pain as possible was heaped upon a person. It was what modern newspapers would call an atrocity. The cross, the crucifixion, was an atrocity. And Paul says that to the Greeks, it was foolishness. And to the Jews, it was weakness. And yet, John says that at Golgotha, at Calvary, at the cross, we can see the glory of God in a way that we can see the glory of God nowhere else on earth. If you want to know what God is really like, if you want to know how marvelous he is, how splendid he is, you don't just look at the sun and the moon and the stars. You look at the cross of Jesus. And when we look at the cross of Jesus, we see what God is like. and we are stunned and we are amazed at what we see. There's a passage in Exodus 33 and 34 where Moses asks to see God's glory. Now, he'd already seen lots of physical manifestations on Mount Sinai. Thunder and lightning, clouds, loud voices, trumpet blasts, you name it. It all happened there on Sinai. He'd seen powerful miracles in Egypt and in the desert and at the Red Sea especially, of course. So he'd seen plenty of God's glory on Mount Sinai, in Egypt, in the desert. But he wanted to go deeper. He wanted to see something even more spectacular. So he says in Exodus 33, "Lord, let me see your glory." I don't know what he expected to see. Visual effects, marvelous signs and wonders don't tell us actually much about God's real character. And Moses wanted to see what God was really like. "I want to see your glory," he said. And God said to him, "You've seen all I can show you. I can't show you anything else. Nobody can see me and live. But here's what I'll do. I'll put you in the cleft of a rock and I'll pass by and you'll see the back part. You'll see the afterglow of my glory. And while I'm passing by, I'll proclaim my name." And here's what God proclaimed as he passed by Moses, who was in the cleft of that rock. He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Do you want to see my glory, Moses? Do you want to see what I'm really like? Do you want something really spectacular, Moses? Well, you'll not get anything more spectacular than this. The Lord, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet not leaving the guilty unpunished. That is the real splendor, Moses. That's my glory. That's my character. And where do we see those qualities of God's character expressed? Where do we see them put on display? Spectacularly. We see them spectacularly displayed at the cross of Calvary. It's there we see God's compassion, God's grace, God's slowness to anger, his abounding love, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, and his justice. He doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. And that was Calvary. That's what the cross was all about. So through Jesus at the cross of Calvary, God's character, God's splendor, God's glory is made known. I just want to draw your attention primarily this evening to two things that are displayed about God's character at the cross of Calvary. And I want to spend most of the time on just the first one. And that's God's love. The cross displays God's love. The heavens don't display the love of God. The skies don't proclaim the love of God. Nature doesn't display the love of God. Where do we see the love of God? We see the love of God at the cross. Inscribed upon the cross we see, in shining letters, God is love. And Paul says in Romans 5, in the passage that Sue just read, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, he says that God demonstrated his love towards us in this: while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God exhibited, God showed, God demonstrated, God spectacularly displayed his love towards us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know John 3:16, don't you? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And verse 14 says that the Son of God was lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross. And that's how God showed his love to the world. And John says in his letter, God is love. And this is how we know that God is love. John chapter 4. God is love. Whoever doesn't love God doesn't know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So where do we see the love of God? We see the love of God at the cross of Calvary. God gave his Son. He couldn't give anything more precious, more valuable, more costly than that. He gave his Son. He didn't give some third party, some angel, some prophet. He gave his Son. And when he gave his son, he was giving himself. It was like tearing his own heart out when he gave his Son. And he gave his Son to die. God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If he'd just given his Son to live for us. If he'd just given his Son to set us a great example, to live for us. That would have been amazing love. But he sent his Son to die for us. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. It says in Romans 5:9. Reconciled to God through the death of his Son. So he gave us his Son, he gave his Son to die for us. And for whom did Christ die? It says in the passage here that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it says we were his enemies. We were his enemies. And we were ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. And we were powerless, we were helpless. When we were without strength, powerless and helpless, we couldn't lift a finger to save ourselves. It was then Christ died for the ungodly. So the cross of Jesus is a demonstration of the love of God. And it's a demonstration of the love of Christ. Throughout his life, throughout his ministry, we see the love and the compassion of Jesus. We see his love for his disciples. We see his love for the crowds. He had compassion on the crowds, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. We see his love for the sick and the sorrowing and the sad. We see his love throughout his ministry. What a kind person the Lord Jesus was. We see his love for children when he took the children in his arms and blessed them, even when his disciples thought he didn't really have time for that sort of thing. He showed his love for the children. Look at the life of Jesus and you see his love and his compassion. But at the cross, we see the supreme demonstration of the love of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Paul says Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Live a life of love, he says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Unto him who has loved us, unto him who loves us and has loosed us from our sins by his blood. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. At the cross we see the love of Christ. But somebody might be asking, does he love me? Does he love me? All right, we see love at the cross. We see love for the world. We see love for the church. Does he love me? Paul says in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you realize that when Jesus died on that cross, he was dying for you because he loved you when he was dying on that cross. So God demonstrated his love at Calvary's cross. It's not obvious that God is love. Look at the world. It's a world where terrible things are happening. And terrible things always have happened. It's full of hate. It's full of violence. It's full of cruelty. very difficult to believe that God is love. A lot of people can't believe that God is love. They hear Christians going on about the love of God. They read the papers, they watch the news, and they say, well, how can you believe in a God of love? Not by looking at the news, not by reading the papers, not even by looking at nature. There's beauty in nature, but there's also cruelty in nature. Good things happen to us for which we can thank God, but bad things happen to us as well. How do we know that God is a God of love? The only way we know that God is a God of love is by looking at what God did at the cross of Calvary. This is how we know that God is a God of love. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Do you want to know whether God loves you or not? Don't look at the circumstances in your life at the moment. You might be going through some bad circumstances. You won't find the love of God there in your circumstances. Do you want to know whether God loves you or not? You look at Calvary. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, John, in his letter, in the passage from chapter 4 that Sue read, he goes even further than that. And he says that the cross of Jesus actually shows us what love is. Verse 10, this is love. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Let me quote John Stott to you on this. I don't know whether you Americans have heard of John Stott. Should have done if you haven't. Great English evangelical Christian. Now 86 years old. He's preaching his last sermon at the Keswick Convention, the first week of the Keswick Convention. He's gone on record as saying it is going to be his last sermon. And then he's going into a retirement home on the South Coast for retired Anglican vicars. And he's been a great gift of God to the church. And this is what he says about this. The cross actually shows us what love is. This is what John Stott says. He says, most people will have no difficulty in telling us what they think love is. They would claim that the meaning of love is self-evident. John would disagree with them. He dares to say that apart from the love of Christ and his cross, the world would never have known what true love is. Of course, all human beings have experienced some degree and quality of love, but John is saying that only one act of pure love, unsullied by any taint of ulterior motive, has ever been performed in the history of this world, namely the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross for undeserving sinners. That is why, if we're looking for a definition of love, we should look not in a dictionary, but at Calvary. At Calvary, we learn what love actually is. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So at the cross we see the love of God. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. He'd seen all that stuff on Sinai. He'd seen all those miracles in Egypt and at the Red Sea. But he wanted to see something more. He wanted to see the real character of God. God says, here's my real character, Moses. My love, my compassion, my grace, my forgiveness. Where do we see the glory of God that Moses couldn't see as he was in the cleft of that rock? We see it at the cross of Jesus. There's where we see love. But the other thing we see at the cross, and I'll just mention this because I want to come back to it as we go through this series on the cross of Jesus. The other thing we see at the cross of Jesus is the righteousness of God. If we'd read Romans chapter 3, Paul in Romans chapter 3 says that Jesus died, God sent Jesus to be the propitiatory sacrifice for our sins in order to demonstrate his righteousness. There are people who say that all we see at the cross of Jesus is the love of God. That is all we see at the cross of Jesus, just the love of God. But no, the Bible says that at the cross of Jesus we see the justice of God. We see the righteousness of God. I came across a little book recently with an intriguing title. The intriguing title was Just Love. Just Love. And this book was written against those who say that at the cross we see just love. That's all. That's all we see at the cross, just the love of God. Nothing else. And this book says, no, we don't see just love at the cross. We see God's justice and God's righteousness as well. So yes, he said, we do see just love at the cross. At the cross of Jesus, we see just love. Love and justice combined. Just love. You see, when the Bible says that God is love, it hasn't said everything there is to say about God. I mean, the same letter that says that God is love, 1 John, also says in chapter 1, God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we're walking in sin, then we're lying. So it's all about the holiness of God. Chapter 1 of 1 John says God is light, God is holy, God is morally pure and spotless. He burns with holy wrath against all that is not holy and all that is not true. And chapter 2 of 1 John says God is righteous. So when we've said God is love, we haven't said all there is to say about God. He is holy and he is righteous. And in that passage where God reveals his glory to Moses as he's in the cleft of the rock, part of that glory is that he will not leave the guilty unpunished. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, he's forgiving, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished. He's just. At the cross of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in Christ, bore the punishment on human sin. He bore God's judgment. He bore God's wrath on our behalf, as our Savior, as our representative, as our King on behalf of all his subjects. Isn't that wonderful? The King on behalf of all his subjects. Most kings get their subjects to die for them. This king died for his subject. On the cross, King Jesus, on behalf of all his subjects, bore the wrath and the judgment and the punishment of sin. And he had to do it. Sin could not be forgiven unless that was done. You see, God doesn't tell lies. And what did God say in the Garden of Eden? He said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And the devil came along to Eve and said to her, he's lying. Don't believe him. You're not going to die. And Eve believed the devil instead of believing God. But God had said, if you eat, you'll die. If you sin, you'll die. That's a promise. That's my word. God doesn't lie. So how can God forgive sinners and not be a liar? If he's made a promise, in the day that you eat thereof you'll die, how can he forgive sinners? How can he let them off? And still be a God who doesn't tell lies? Well, we see the truth of God at the cross of Jesus. Rather than tell a lie, God in Christ took the punishment himself, and he died. And when Jesus died, it was as if everybody who belongs to Jesus died. Everybody was in him, everybody was represented by him, everybody he died for, they died in him. He took the death, he died the death on their behalf. Because God doesn't tell lies. He promised that sin led to death, and so it had to lead to death. And on the cross of Jesus, we see God in Christ dying, bearing the punishment for our sin. That's how truthful God is. That's how righteous He is. That's how just He is. That is how holy He is. He'll never turn a blind eye to sin. Rather than turn a blind eye to sin, He became one of us. And on our behalf, He accepted death, He accepted judgment, He accepted alienation from His Father, He accepted the curse, He accepted wrath on our behalf so that we might be forgiven. That's why in the cross of Jesus we see glory. We see the glory of God. We see love, we see justice, we see holiness, we see truth on display at the cross of Calvary. We see how much forgiveness costs. We see that God loved us enough to forgive us, but we also see how much that forgiveness cost. It cost Jesus His blood. That's what we see at the cross. It is there that we really see the splendor, the glory of God.